Welcome to My Creative Corner 3, a podcast about quilting, crafting, creativity, with a dash of garden, chatting about current interests and life in my northern town. You can find show notes at mycreativecorner3.com. You can also find all of my social media, how to purchase a virtual cup of coffee, and all events on the website. Please feel free to stop by and leave a comment. I really appreciate everyone who listens. Thanks for stopping by. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Here we are, April 24th. It is a cold, sunny day. Snow came in the night, but it has melted, but it's only 39. So every time I think that it's going to be nice enough to go out and poke around the garden, it is not. So we're still not outside in the garden. It's just too cold. I will tell you that I think today's topic of discussion is going to be how to break through creative blocks. So I get back from the vacation that we had at the beginning of the month, kind of going through a lot of cleaning, laundry, work, catching up, and just as much as I felt inspired on the vacation, I could not bring myself to do any sewing on the sewing machine. And of course, the long arm is down, and it's just been a struggle of trying to figure out what I would like to do. So I thought, well, why don't I do something different? I have finished the slow stitching project, the meditation scroll. I had pieced my January Petite Four and the March St. Patrick's Day inspired little wall hanging. I just couldn't really think of anything else I wanted to do. So April's wall hanging, remember I've skipped February and I'm going to go back and make it up later. These are for my door at work, and I wanted to have a monthly theme. I thought it'd be fun to do little banners. And well, I thought it would be fun to do flowers. And then I got thinking something different that I haven't done in quite some time is making English paper pieced hexagon flowers. And so I had a whole bunch of floral fabrics already pre-basted on a bunch of hexagons, and I sewed together probably 5 or 6 of them since I talked to you last. And the hand sewing part is so meditative, and it's really nice to sit down after work and have something that's an almost mindless sewing. And the hexagons kind of fit that bill. So does slow stitching. Cross stitch, you got to use a little bit more of your brain power. But it was really, really nice to have that. I pulled it out and really, really felt inspired to keep going and putting together all these fun flower fabrics and a few other designs. It was great. So I thought, you know, something I've wanted to do with English paper piecing is to set up an Etsy shop. So I also did that. I was playing with fabric, went through some of the quilt fabric I had. I cut some 1-inch hexagons. I have 6 listings up, and they're kits. They're not basted. And I got thinking, well, maybe people need something like I did. Maybe the flowers should be in a kit ready to sew and already pre-basted. So that's going to be my next several listings. I'm going to do some pre-basted flower fabric and maybe some fussy cuts and get them on the hexagon so that when people buy them, they can just start sewing right away. So those are some of the things I've been mulling over And the hexagons has really been a great fallback on to just play with fabric, play with pre-made hexagons that I already had. And I was sewing and sewing and sewing. And then Sunday, I dropped a needle in the middle of listening to church. Yeah, I do virtual church, and I dropped a very thin milliner's needle on the floor, and I spent an hour trying to find it. I never did. And I vacuumed, I did everything. I even used a magnet on the dust. That didn't work. And then it got me thinking, okay, I have more milliner's needles in another little sewing basket. And I spent more time over the next couple of days sorting through totes and bins where I thought I had put it. Because remember the big sewing room clean out I did a couple years ago and declutter. It was done with just get it done quilts. Well, I still have a mess on the front porch, and I thought this is it. I am so done with having things in closets that are a mess, and I'm sick of things being in boxes that mixed with things that shouldn't be in the boxes, and I need to let go. So that's the other part of what we're going to talk about, is letting go. So I ordered new needles. I thought, no matter what, the needles I have were old. They bent real easy. They're Sue Daly milliner's needles. They're a nice sharp needle, but I'm rough on them, and the eye is very, very small. I struggled with threading the needle, and I thought that's where I put the hexagons up, because I couldn't see the eye of the needle. And when I got a bigger needle, it was harder to sew and make the stitches, quote, disappear like they do when I use a milliner's needle. So I ordered tulip needles. I ordered the milliner's needle with the extra large eye. And then I ordered more of the self-threading needles. I use self-threading needles for a lot of hand sewing and cross-stitch, believe it or not, because I am sick and tired of straining my eyes, and my fumble fingers are not as dexterous as they used to be for threading needles. Of course, a day after I ordered them from Fat Quarter Shop, I found the basket with all the needles, and I realized they're old enough, and a lot of things that I have are old enough that they really should be thrown away. They're dull. They're just old. And I think that's something that I struggle with, is kind of hoarding certain things or having a hard time letting some things go because there's, quote, still good use in it. And I don't like just throwing things away, but these are beyond useful. So that is my next project, is going through a lot of these kinds of things. So anyway, the story is I still haven't found that needle, and I'm hoping that I did vacuum it up, or that it is down deep in my chair and it doesn't poke me one day. I have nothing but lovely things to say about tulip needles. You can buy them at most quilt shops or at Fat Quarter Shop. They cost a little bit more, but they last 2 to 3 times as long as any other needle. The quality is there. The sharpness is amazing, and they tend to not shred the thread as much, because I think that they're made out of a better metal. The two pieces I ordered, I think, were, they come in little test tubes of assorted sizes in that self-threading needle. And I think there were 10 milliner's needles. So it was $18 for both. So yeah, it's a little bit expensive, but you know what? I've decided that I am done buying things that don't work for me. The other thing that I bought from Fat Quarter Shop a couple months ago, I reserved a Swig Life tumbler. It looks much like the Stanley thermoses that have the handle that a lot of people really are going crazy over. It was $50, but it's teal and it's got quilt blocks all over it. I love it so much. It's teal and white. I can hold it. It's not as heavy as my Hydrate Spark, which I still use, even though I dropped it and dented that expensive thing. But this is great. I would highly recommend it. You can buy it through Fat Quarter Shop if you want the quilt patterned one, or you can go to their website. They have a lot of lovely colors and patterns and accessories if you don't want one that has the quilt theme. I don't know. I think you still have to order, and they're kind of on a waiting list to fill through Fat Quarter Shop, but it's worth it. I'm telling you, I left my Swig Life water jug at work overnight, and then I got there the next day. The ice had not melted at all, and the water was very, very cold. So I'm very pleased with the investment. It's much lighter and easier to carry, and I have not dropped it. And the finish on it is not a metal finish, which it helps with insulating it and keeping it clean. You can hand wash the entire thing, and I'm very, very pleased with that. So what have I been doing besides making English paper pieced flowers, which I have no idea how I'm going to finish them yet either, but it's going to be in some sort of wall hanging where I applique the grandmother's flower garden blocks on. I made the Etsy shop, and then I decided I was going to take some free classes. I did a Cricut one, which is this week, and it's much like the ones I've taken in the past, so I've kind of lost interest in that and didn't finish. I downloaded a few stickers and a couple of freebies, but I'm just kind of like not super feeling the vibe on what they have. A great theme and everything, but it just wasn't interesting to me. I also stopped doing the 24 and 24 sew along, which was a quilt block, two quilt blocks a month, as well as two cross stitch quilt blocks a month. I don't know. I impulsively started it and thought it would be great to get back to basics, and because I was very frustrated with some of my piecing last year and stars were not coming together. And I just really studied a lot of patterns and a lot of videos that Kimberly Jolly did with Fat Quarter Shop. And I'm finding that I probably just need to do what she does, is see the inspiration quilt block and re-engineer it in a way that I like to do it. And then maybe buy way more paper piecing papers and pads, as well as these triangles. She has a lot of triangle papers, because that's really the only way I can do stars and have them come out with super crisp, sharp points and everything line up. So that was kind of another frustrating part of what I've been going through the last couple months. And I just kind of put some of the quilting on the back burner after my finish of the Petite Four, which I love, love. In fact, maybe if I can't think of something else to do when I want to start sewing, I may make that second one that I've talked about with the 4-inch papers instead of I finished one with the 6-inch. So, I took the class. The Cricut didn't appeal. The only thing I'm using my Cricut for right now is cutting my hexagon papers, and I will probably also use it to cut some fabric. And then I did a free mixed media class. Now, these free classes, you have to understand, they're free, so they're just giving you a taste, a tease, a little bit of information to complete a project, but they really want you to sign up for, you know, a bigger class to get more in-depth training. So the mixed media class I did was making flower collages. And I didn't have all of the art supplies, which are very expensive, to make mine look like what the instructor had. They didn't get into what's the difference between gesso and media gel. I was just not into looking all of this stuff up. And I didn't have the right pencil to make my smudgy, loose flowers like hers. And I was really frustrated by the end of the week. I just thought, what am I doing? This is supposed to be fun and therapeutic, but I just couldn't replicate what she was doing. So then I put it away and I started watching some other mixed media videos. And I went back to some that really excited me using the things that I had on hand. Willow Wanders has some things on Instagram, and EB Mixed Media on YouTube has a really nice channel, but she's also had some creative block since the beginning of the year. And I watched some of her things and I'm like, yes, that's the type of things I want to make with inexpensive products and just kind of playing with color and play. And that's really the whole thing this month. The theme in my journal, the Silk and Sonnet journal, is play. And I've been playing all month with the hexies and fabric and our vacation. And so I went back to what I had worked on and I did a 2-page spread out in the mixed media journal that I bought for this class. And I'm not 100% happy. Maybe you're never 100% happy with some of these types of things, but it's a collage and it finished and it's way better than I thought it would be. I'll put a picture in the show notes, but it is far from what my vision was going to be. But that's the whole thing about collage, both with the paper and paint or the fabric collage like slow stitching. You know, you can't really have too much of a finished product in your mind. It kind of evolves on its own. And that was something that I really did like about it. So I finally connected with a friend after all of this frustration. We haven't seen each other much all winter because of the storms and our schedule. She's retired. I'm working. And I had finished a quilt for her before my long arm went a little south. I did hers actually in December or January. And I dropped the quilt off and she showed me something that she's been taking classes on through a local artist studio. Now, it's in the town where I used to drive to work. It's where the main office for our company is. And this is how I know this lady. She worked for the same company I work for. She did fused glass and I gasped aloud. I really did. I went, oh, I love fused glass. I saw it, I think, on a Carol Duvall show in the 90s. And I've always wanted to have a kiln and fused glass and do different types of glass. I love and collect glass. I have all kinds of uranium glass and depression glass, all of the old glass, glass better than china. And she gave me the newsletter. And lo and behold, the artist the following week had a class on a Sunday afternoon making small charms that she would fire in the kiln after the class and glue bales on for necklaces. And it's really kind of like a mosaic. She had a couple of examples that were floral. And I thought this is the perfect time to do fused glass. The class was extremely affordable. And I really, really enjoyed myself. My friend happened to take the class again because she's enjoying herself. She's a quilter also. And I thought, you know what? This is the type of stuff that's helping break my creative block. It's doing something very different that I've never done before. Mixed media, I have very limited experience with it, but the practice I did with mixed media helped translate a little bit. in making these little charms. And mine is not here yet. I'm going to get them tomorrow. My friend and I are going to lunch. I'm doing all the things. I'm like seeing people face to face. We're going to lunch. I took a class. I did something different. These are all the goals that I had set for myself this month. So let me give a shout out to the teacher. Her name is Heidi Finley. And she has a website, and it is for marblingsupplies.com, as in marbling paper. That is another part of her business. And she is taking all kinds of classes to do glass, because she has fallen in love with it. But she's doing marbling silk scarves later this fall. She's doing other types of glass, and I am so looking forward to taking classes before the snow flies. So you can get beginner marbling kits from her, and it has, you know, all of the high quality paint, the tool to comb through all kinds of, it looks like powders and things that you would need. I've marbled fabric once. I talked about that at the local quilt shop, and I absolutely loved it. And, you know, if I totally get into it, I may buy a kit for myself next year, because the kit she sells marbles papers as well as fabric. So if you live, local people in northern Michigan, she is in Petoskey and teaches all over northern Michigan. You could sign up for her website or email her at Heidi, H-E-I-D-I, at marblingsupplies.com. Go to her website, or you can see the types of things that she's doing on Marbling Supplies on Facebook. Loved it. I am so excited to make more. I want to work in a series. So she had some examples of daisies, little tiny flowers that were just like chips of glass that you layer with little straws for stems, sailboats, which I did not do a sailboat because I am into flowers this month. It's spring. So I made a daisy that looks like an oxeye daisy, open with a little stem and two leaves. That took me the longest time to find the little pieces that she pre-cut. And I did cut some glass with the tile cutters. I can see how that is a skill that takes time. I also went through what she's called frit, which is little tiny little specks of pieces and small pieces for my little mosaic of a bouquet of flowers. And it had what's called dichroic glass in the centers of some of these, which is a metallic sparkle. And then the other one I did was a minimalist daisy, which was like half the flower, kind of looks like a black-eyed Susan would look, you know, half the flower with the stem, no leaves. And I like that minimalist look, but the one that I did with way too many pieces of glass is that little bouquet of flowers. We started laughing because I said, this is my hot mess express. I learned everything about putting the tiles that I chose for colors, quilting with all of the colors and the contrast and all of the things about like scrap quilting and putting quilts together came together with using these scrap pieces of mosaic glass. And I'm just thrilled. I want to do a series of butterflies and flowers, and I could do that class over and over again, I think, and make myself probably enough charm necklaces that I could wear one 365 days in a year. Really, I could. That was so much fun. I don't see how you could get burnt out on it if you do it occasionally like I do. But I found out something when I got home. I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted a kiln. And I don't need a big one. Like, she has a really large one, you know, for professional loading and large pieces. I just love making these little charms. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Not only can you buy small kilns that are pretty affordable, you can buy, yeah, listen to this, tiny kilns, just the ceramic of, what is that ceramic? It's like fireproof material that you can put in a microwave for both glass and tiny pottery pieces. Seriously, and they were not very expensive, and you can buy all kinds of glass. Some people even upcycle glass, which that's risky because you don't know. There's a lot about glass making that I've been learning over a couple days about how fast each type of glass melts. I think it's called a coefficient. I don't know. If there's any glass people out there, forgive me for my ignorance on terms, but my goodness, how much fun. So I'm looking at possibly getting a little microwavable kiln and putting that outside in the gym area. That way you're not microwaving stuff in the house, because I think the papers that you put it on and some of the stuff that you use might not be great to put in a microwave that you're going to eat out of or use in your kitchen. So thinking about it, but I definitely got to take some more classes, learn some more things. It'll be awesome. So when I did all of these things, I really feel like I have worked through my creative block. And so as I've read about creative blocks on articles online and stuff, I kind of naturally followed the path of the things that suggested. Sometimes it says it's good to just put things away and try something new, which I did. I put the fabric for piecing away. I didn't do the February love notes wall hanging. I was going to do flowers for April, but I was thinking of making, you know, a different type of pieced flowers. And you know what? I just did something different and I went where the creative energy took me. I also did things that were really kind of basic and creative, but yet no high expectations on the outcome. For the fused glass, that was true, but it was also true with the mixed media. And I think what's great about the mixed media is that it can be simple and childlike and yet be very, very satisfying about what you're creating. It's also very therapeutic. Collage making is very, very therapeutic. And I know that some people also say you should work on other types of self-care, like exercising, eating healthy, getting enough sleep, not trying to push yourself too hard. I'm a hobbyist. I don't make my living making creative things to sell or as part of my job in that type of creativity. But what I think is good is like maybe try to incorporate some creativity in areas where you feel stagnant. Like I've been doing my job for 31 years. So I did the wellness board in April. In May, the theme is going to be May is Mental Health Month. So I need to do a mental health theme. So I've been researching it and I have some ideas and a couple different types of product that I want to use to put up board. So it was fun. I have been exercising more regularly. I've been doing probably 15 minutes a day of either rowing, stretching, or doing like indoor walking, like standing in place type of walking, at least 4 times a week. And it feels great. I've been eating healthier. My blood sugars have been improving. Now, if I could just get the scales to keep going down, I went down a couple pounds this month. Nothing spectacular. But all of that comes together for breaking creative blocks. Sometimes doing things that are back to basics, simpler, that can help, like maybe sewing 9 patches. If you really want to get going on sewing, we'll just cut up a bunch of squares and put them in piles. And I hear people doing that, like make 9 patches or improv quilt or jelly roll races, just putting, get a jelly roll out and just sew them together, or get a charm pack and sew them together. There's lots of simple quilt things that some people just sew one seam a day, and it's a win. And I think that's the other part, is just lower the expectations a little bit, and just whatever happens with the 15 minutes, I swear by 15 minute time increments, it's amazing how much you can get done. So that's what I did to help break the creative block that I've been experiencing over the last little bit. Last month, the new thing I tried was slow stitching, which is really different than just hand sewing. It's fabric collage with embroidery stitch. It's kind of like fabric collage meets crazy quilt, and yet it's very meditative. So I really, really have been having fun with all of those kinds of things. And today I did something that is super simple, but looks cool, and it's really inexpensive, and it was a great way to scratch that creative itch, so to speak. You need a glue gun. I went to Hobby Lobby, and I found a package of what they're calling sea glass, which is just glass that they've tumbled in a rock tumbler, and it has that sea glass look. I saw online people making sea glass succulents in tiny little pots. Now, I saw one of these little pots at Hobby Lobby several weeks ago, and because I saw this craft online and I didn't want to pay $50 for the class because it was right before our vacation and I couldn't work it in. I totally regret not signing up for it because I saw pictures afterwards and the pub where they had it was packed. It was like everybody I knew was there. I bet it was a great time. But this is an inexpensive craft. You really don't need to do anything, but YouTube has a couple of people who have tutorials. So you use a glue gun and you have your little pot with foam inside. Mine had a plant in it. I yanked the plant out. Use a glue gun. The first glue I used melted the foam in the center. So don't use a strong glue that's for glass. Just, I had a Gorilla Glue stick. You start in the center and you build like a flower out with your jaggedy edges sticking straight up, kind of like a hen and chick type of succulent plant, or some of the other ones that are low to the pot and look like kind of rosettes. Yep, that was it. And it's cute. And for a small, inexpensive, quick fix, almost instant gratification. And I love glass. I told you how much I love glass. I love it so much. And I have enough glass left over that I'm going to make another one. And I think I'm going to use a little tray or some other tiny bowl. I have lots of tiny bowls, or wee yogurt cups. I could fill it with something and then set the rosette on the top. You know, creative moments. So it was fun. I did Google sea glass succulents, and I found somebody that showed me exactly how to do it. The key is I was starting from the outside and trying to build it outside to in and up. No, these are low to the bottom of, you know, not tall. You want it kind of a low, and you start in the center and build it out. And a hot glue gun makes it easy. So that was another super fun thing. I saw it and I'm like, gotta do it. I think I spent less than $8 for all of the materials, except for my glue sticks. I do need to go buy some glue sticks. So I want to end today with the product of my getting frustrated after losing that needle and spending probably 2 or 3 hours of my life trying to figure out where it was, where the other needles were. I couldn't find my other little sewing kit with needles and thimbles and all that, is I decided I have got to let some of this go. I just got to let it go, right? The closet is filled with things. And, you know, last podcast, I talked about taking a whole bunch of things of my daughter's to her house. Now, I did kind of rummage through and I found there are things in closets yet that I need to go through. And so I decided I was going to start small, pick one closet downstairs that just needed to be gone through. The problem with this closet, it has what we call a little hobbit hole inside it that leads to a space under the stairwell. So there was a lot of junk in that space too. And I found an Operation Let It Go answering machine with two cordless phone handsets. Who's used one of those in 20 years? I found embroidery floss from the 90s for my Santa. Remember that? I started it in the 90s. It was a large table topper and it took me 20 years to finish. I found that with the pattern that was dated 1991. That entire bag went. I sorted through books and most of the ones that we've read or they're dusty and stink, they all were bagged up to get ready to go. I went through all kinds of things in this closet. I found empty boxes, old Christmas ornaments. Unfortunately, I found my wedding bouquet smashed and ravaged by mice and filled with mice litterings. And so, you know what? I wasn't sad about it because I thought I really should let it go. It was gray with dust. The box had collapsed. So you know what? I've got lots of pictures with that bouquet. And why do I gotta hang on to it? It felt really good to let that go. And it just continued. I just kept going through laundry space that had lots of laundry in there of clothes that we don't wear. Bagged those up. They're too old and decrepit and moldy. There was not moldy, dry rot. There was not a lot left of these clothes. So when I say that, I mean, when I'm getting down to like things that were disgusting, dusty rags, old blankets that were the same way, a couple of crocheted throws that I did 35 years ago that were not well done. I didn't like them when I got done with them. And a couple of things, there are ones that I made, things that my grandmothers made that were like top notch. I'm still hanging on to them, but I want to try to figure out a way to store them. I've got a couple of vacuum bags, you know, where you can squish them in bag and get the air out of it. I don't know if it'll work. But I started with that. So I went through the closet, reset it, moved a few things in that were in stacks in the other room and that it's attached to, which is kind of our multi-purpose extra room that used to be the den when we had a computer and all of our musical instruments are in there. Unfortunately, we don't play them as much as we used to, but we're hanging on to those. Maybe we will. And I feel like there is so much mental space that has been let go and opened up. So like, it's kind of like, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Old crap that I had no reason to keep went out. And now I have space for new things and new places to store things. And in the emptying of that closet out, I emptied two totes of things that are going out to the road for spring junk day. And then I went and I went upstairs and I found more clothes that nobody has worn in 15 to 20 years. So I bagged up a bunch of those. And that's where I stopped because I think I have amassed enough for one day. And this is going to be part of my 5-year plan of decluttering and going through all of the things in this house to prepare for whatever retirement's going to bring. Whether it's staying here in a more minimalistic way that's less cluttered and less dust. And the other thing is, you know, I'm approaching this with, I don't want anyone to come after me, especially I had a little health scare. So let's do this little aside. Earlier this year, I had a stress test done because I was having a lot of unusual and weird chest pains since I've had COVID. And for you who don't know or are new here, I have long COVID. And so I've had some breathing problems and heart arrhythmias. And the stress test came back that it was positive for a narrowing in one of the arteries. However, the cardiologist who read it said, I'm not convinced that this is showing an accurate picture of a narrowing in the apex of the heart. I don't know much about cardiology. I am a nurse who's not done that kind of work. So I did go see a cardiologist and I talked to him and he didn't think that I had a positive stress test, that this is probably a false positive. So I had to have more testing done and I got a clean bill of health. So I did talk about this, I think, in the last podcast. You know, the other thing is my memory's not good. So if you've heard this before, sorry, but just kind of explaining that I decided that I didn't want anybody coming behind me and cleaning up all this junk. Because you know what? Every year older you get, it gets harder and harder. Number one, if you've held on to it this long, it's harder to let it go. And it's physically harder to do. So I went through and let a bunch of 30-year-old crap go, and it feels good. And, you know, now I am ready to get the front porch, which is an enclosed porch that is pretty useless because it's either too hot in the summer because it faces south or too cold in the winter. There's a minimal amount of duct work that goes out there for heating and air conditioning in this 100-year-old house with very old windows. So I have this set up kind of as a quasi reading area that has become a dumping ground and a overflow of storage and unfinished quilts. I got a binder out there. There's a bookcase and I have, you know, some figurines and glass on shelves out there. So I just really need to go through and slowly pick away at organizing that space and purging what I don't need. These are the things that are overflow from my sewing space. And I know I still have too much stuff in this sewing space. And as I get going along, I find things that are broken and not useful. It's going to. So Project Let It Go is all about letting this extra stuff that still, quote, had some use or maybe a use for future me. I am saying let it go. So while I have a free junk pickup day, it's not really free. I pay for this in my city taxes. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try to do a bag a week of declutter as I go through things like a kitchen bag, trying to go through the kitchen drawers. You know, it is a constant battle. And if you need motivation, I love watching Diane from Denmark, who does the Fly Lady routine. And she does this on YouTube, and I've watched her do this for years, and she still can find things to declutter. So when I get frustrated with myself for why did I hang on to a answering machine that nobody has used in darn near 30 years or maybe 25, because I think we had a landline in the early 2000s for a while, till everyone got cell phones. Anyway, she's still finding things to declutter. And her house is pretty much minimalism, but her children have all just left home and she's going through the same process. So my children have not returned home in about 10 years now for the youngest and more than that for the oldest. And it's high time I start going through the toys and the things that no one needs, wants, or finds useful. That has also led to me feeling like my creative block has been lifted. So maybe those are some things that might help you. And all in all, at the end of the day, I feel ever so much better for doing all of the things that I used as tools to help me through my creative block, which in turn helped me with self-care, and it helped my overall well-being, and it actually led to my house being less cluttered and easier to clean, which is my overarching goals, right? For everything. So I just want to say shout out again. If you have never tried fused glass, check it out. Maybe at your local community college or adult education, or if you live in Northern Michigan, check out marblingsupplies.com for her schedule. Heidi's a great teacher. Try some new things. Go get some inexpensive sea glass at Hobby Lobby. Make a little succulent. And for everyone who has been faithful listeners, I say thank you so much. And to my new guests, thanks for tuning in. You can find the show notes at mycreativecorner3.com. And on that webpage, you'll find links to my virtual cup of coffee and my social media should you want to follow me there. I do have a Facebook group that I have decided to keep going. I was pondering the idea of closing it. It's a private group. And we have a lovely group of people who are sharing the things that they're working on and things that they have been up to be creative. So it's not just quilting. It's mostly about quilting, but that group, people do share other things too. So feel free to join us. So everybody have a most wonderful week and create on, everyone.